Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Welcome back, networkers, to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker. You know, last week we were talking about how to present yourself better so you're not using that dreaded elevator pitch. And I know that we said that this week we were going to be talking about how to use networking in your personal life. But you know what? We have a wonderful opportunity instead, something brand new that we're trying out. First of all, you may have noticed that there is one half of our duo missing. My mom is actually out on vacation right now, enjoying herself. And so we have the lucky opportunity to speak to a member of our community who is also a fantastic networker. I would like to introduce to you all, Diane Spadola. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Greg.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is quite the honor.
Oh, it is. It is an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for being our inaugural interview guest. How exciting.
It is. And to be able to like actually stand in the shoes of Debbie Peters, that's a big deal for me. That,
you know, honestly, I feel like I'm standing in those shoes a lot. So. So, Diane, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business? And I know that you had kind of a recent change of course, and so I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
I did have a recent change of course. I'd like to say that I'm like a perfect example of the pandemic pivot, twice, actually. Because
You had two pivots?
Yeah, I've pivoted my business twice since the pandemic started. The first time, I am a former face and body painter. So I was a party entertainer prior to COVID. I quit a corporate career in marketing and sales and business development in order to become a professional party entertainer. And I did both of those things, both the corporate career in big pharma and then the face and party entertaining for about 17 years each. And I've been very lucky and grateful to have two careers that I've really enjoyed. When the pandemic shut down all gigs and special events, I then decided to go full time into my side hustle, which was coaching other artists and entertainers in how to better market their business.
Okay.
And how to kind of raise the professional standards of children and adult party entertainers in general. So I did that. I established a membership group in June. And in the fall, when we realized that the party entertainment industry was not coming back as it had once been so healthy and so lively, I started thinking about whether there's another segment of solo entrepreneurs that I can help, a larger group, but still a group that's interested in fun, excitement, and easy marketing best practices.
Okay.
So now I am a marketing coach and I serve marketing challenge solo entrepreneurs and I help them get more and better clients through simple, easy relationship marketing habits. I like to say I put the fun in marketing for people who like fun more than marketing.
Okay. Well, and it's funny because I was looking at your LinkedIn profile. And you've got this beautiful picture of yourself you have this beautiful face art. I mean, I don't know if you call it face painting. It is face art right. That you had accomplished. And I'm assuming you put that on yourself, right?
Yes. I did. And actually at one time, as one of the ways of promoting my business, I painted myself every single day for 365 days.
Whoa.
Which I would not recommend that to anybody. Because when you realize that you have to put something very dramatic and colorful and festive on your face and you need to be out the door in like 5 minutes, it's very, you get a little nervous.
A little time pressure there.
Yeah.
Now, was it a different pattern each day?
Yes, a different pattern. And I actually, there's a group on Facebook that I participated in that puts out a calendar every month. I never realized it was only for a month, that the challenge was only for a month until I had actually announced to my customers that I would do it for a year. But when I realized it was only for a month, then I was like, oh, I already put it out there that I'm going to do it for a year. And it actually turned out to be a really good thing because it developed a habit and it was a tremendous way of launching conversations. And people at networking groups remember me as being the person that had my face painted.
Well, it's really immersing yourself in your practice. I mean,
Right.
I know when I started this business, I made the goal of writing every single day in my blog about networking
Right.
every single day. And when you do that, and I'm sure you discovered this when you're face painting, you become really involved and really understanding all the fine details of what you're doing. I mean, it's a practice at that point. So
Well, and I had always recommended to my artists that work for me, as well as my marketing students, that you need to find a way to kind of set yourself apart from other party entertainers. And having your face painted or carrying around a balloon sculpture is a fantastic way to get people to ask you, what do you do?
well, yeah, definitely.
And then what they ask you, I teach a method of relationship marketing that's called the ones. And so then you answer that question, what do you do, with your one sentence about what you do. And if that's all they remember is your one sentence, then, and it's not really an elevator pitch, it's more like a simple, easy description so that we can call you the networking guy, or they can call me the face painting lady. You know, it's just something really simple that kind of sticks in your head.
Honestly, we should have had you on last episode because that was exactly what we were talking about, is when
Right.
someone asks you what you do, you need to be able to respond in 7 to 10 seconds, you know, and then, oh, tell me a little bit about yourself. That's it, you know.
Yes. And then when they ask that question, when they say, oh, tell me more, that sounds interesting, tell me more, then I teach a thing called the one paragraph. And the one paragraph is a little tiny expansion that gives people an example of your target audience, your best ideal client, what you actually do for them,
Okay.
and what kind of transformation you're responsible for. Because people aren't interested in buying stuff, they're interested in buying results. So a coach or a face painter or a networker, all of these things, they're interested in the change that will take place by us coming into their lives.
People aren't buying a quarter inch drill bit because they want a quarter inch drill bit. They want a quarter inch hole.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All right, so tell me, how do you know, you've got this new business now. Tell me a little bit more about how you're helping people. What sort of challenges are they facing right now that they know they need Diane to help with?
Well, I think my forte is helping out the person who is really good at their work. Okay, so they have a zone of genius, whether it's accounting or financial planning, or they're a lawyer, or oh, I don't know, they could be a private fitness trainer or a nutritionist. And they are working alone, so they don't have a lot of help, but they need now more than ever to kind of keep those clients, more clients and better clients knocking on the door. Because maybe they're not out going to networking lunches, they're not participating in chamber of commerce meetings, they're not exampling what they do on a daily basis out in the world at large, where somebody can see them doing their work. So that puts more of an emphasis on how they're going to market themselves in an online world, which is how we're participating now in everything that's economy, commercial, all of that stuff. And they need help. And what they come to me for is to get something that's simple and easy that can be built into their daily work as a habit, but involves marketing their business and what they do, their superpower, their zone of genius, putting that out into the world in a way that will enable ideal clients to self-identify, raise their hand and say, oh, I want to come to Greg for that.
Okay. So, I mean, this all came kind of tying throughout all of this is your marketing expertise.
Right.
And how did you get into marketing in the first place?
Oh, way back early on, I graduated. I mean, my initial story is I graduated with a business degree from college.
Okay.
I went to the career planning and placement office to look for what I wanted to do. This is like, you know, you're in your senior year and you're starting to get really nervous. And where I went to school, they weren't big on internships. So I didn't really have a way of determining, you know, what I didn't fall into a job after graduation.
Okay.
So what I did is I went to career planning and placement, and I did a whole bunch of assessments, and it finally came down to, if you had the perfect job, what would it be? And I said, I would get paid to be a volunteer. Because I was really good at being a volunteer. I was good at organizing fundraisers. I was good at organizing projects. I was good at getting team members involved. I was good at actually making things happen, planning and making things happen. And so they immediately came back with, well, you need to be a professional fundraiser. Okay. And that's what I ended up doing. I ended up working for a charity for 3 years, doing everything from health education, fundraising, service and rehab. Basically, what I was doing was managing groups of volunteers that were delivering the services of a nonprofit to a really large community in Massachusetts. But I had no personal life. And after that, I said, I need to get out of this nonprofit world. And I went and I got an MBA, and then I landed a job with a pharmaceutical company. And I started out as a sales rep. And then I sort of moved through the company, marketing, sales, business development, sales management, training. And I ended up in HR in an organizational development capacity. And on the side had developed face painting as a hobby.
Okay.
So that's where that transition took place. But all my life, I have been the planner and the enthusiastic cheerleader for whatever it was that I was planning.
Well, and I want to point out as your titles on LinkedIn is Chief Encouragement Officer and Director of Programming at Accelerate Your Success.
Consistently fun programming at Accelerate Your Success.
Okay. You got to add the fun part in there. So. Yeah.
And that's also why, and I'll be honest with you, there are people that have taken a look at my website and said, you know, I'm not so sure I would hire a marketing coach that has their face painted in their headline profile. And I'm like, but if they wouldn't hire me because of that, they're not my people.
Yeah. You got to know who your hungry audience is. And obviously,
right. I want the people that are going to look at that picture and say, oh, she looks like fun.
Yeah.
I want fun marketing. I want to like marketing. I want it to be more fun and enjoyable. Those are the people that I want to serve, is those people that need it to be more fun because they hate doing it because they feel it's a chore.
Diane, you're obviously an interesting person, and all the stuff that you have done is fascinating, all the path that you have followed. So tell me, you know, we talk here about networking all the time. You're a fantastic networker. Tell me about a time that you realized that networking was important to you and your success.
There'd be so many. But I think probably in the more recent past, I had a business in New Jersey. A very successful party entertainment business where I would be the primary face painter. And then I had a whole lot of team members. My mother passed away and I needed to come to Ohio to help take care of my dad who had Alzheimer's. He's fine, by the way. He's actually like the best Alzheimer's patient you'll ever see. But when I arrived in Cleveland, I didn't know anybody. I never lived here. My family wasn't from here. I mean, I spent time with my parents who lived here, but, you know, it was mostly their friends. I had no friends. I knew no one when I brought my little U-Haul full of furniture. So I knew right away that if I was going to establish a business for myself in Ohio and not have to continue to commute back to New Jersey to do all my events, I needed to get out there and start meeting people. So I call it collecting friends, which is basically establishing relationships with people, not even necessarily for business, but establishing relationships with people and then once you know them and they know you, then you can start to identify, do they have problems that they need solving? And if they do have a problem need solving, is there something that I know or a person I can connect them to or a resource that I can share that will help them solve their problem? Mm. Now, very few people come out and about and go, oh, I need a face painter. Oh my goodness. I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't find a face painter. Very rarely does that ever happen. So instead, it's more, you know, it's more general information about how do you host a party? What kind of entertainment can you have for different age groups? And what I try to practice is not suggesting myself as the first response, because I might not be the solution to their problem. I want to get them the best solution possible. And that's how I create the relationship so that we stay in touch, whether I get that business or not.
Wait a minute, that almost sounds like networking. I mean,
yeah. But I think part of the issues with networking and especially with introverts that want to network is this notion of, oh, I don't want to put myself out there. That's kind of like selling. You know, you're really, when you're networking, you're just promoting yourself. You're really not. If you're doing it well, that is not what you should be doing. If you're networking, basically you're curious, all right? So you're trying to learn about the people in the world around you. I've been that way for as long as I can remember. You know, and my family moved. I'm living in my 38th home.
38th home?
Yes. So if you ask, how did I become a good networker? It's because every 4 or 5 years when I was a kid, we moved to a new location. I had to put myself out there if I wanted to have friends or any sort of social life, even when I was like 10. So now the notion of moving my business from New Jersey to Ohio was just the same thing. It's just getting out there.
You're making friends on purpose.
Right. Being curious about the people that you meet, offering help when you see that there's a chance for you to do so, remembering people, asking the right questions and being a good listener.
Yep. Well, that, I mean, that's, you've underlined everything I believe about good networking practice with your behaviors. So just out of curiosity, what networking groups do you actually belong to or do you attend?
Well, I attended today the New Jersey Association of Women Business Owners, which normally I would not be involved with anymore because I don't live there. But one of the pluses about being in a virtual world and with all these networking groups being on Zoom is that you can participate in a group that isn't geographically located where you are. Mm-hmm. So I belong to the Entrepreneurial Women's Club, which is a group based out of Connecticut. Again, that was a pandemic present. So I got that as a gift. After we realized that they could open their doors now to anyone, not just business owners in Connecticut. I belong to Women in Networking, which is a Cleveland-based chapter of a much larger group. I belong to a group that's called the Rocky River Lunch Bunch that your mother actually started.
I've heard of them.
Yes. And then I participate in some other groups when something flies across my screen and is a topic that I'm interested in.
Okay.
So if somebody was, how to be a better marketer, how to deal with marketing challenges as a solo entrepreneur, if those sorts of things, how to do relationship marketing in an online world when you can't be face-to-face to create that relationship and make it sticky. If those things came across, I would reach out and try to participate. I'm was a past member of the Rocky River Chamber of Commerce, so I still go to their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the ones that I do the most on a regular basis. Well,
sounds like you've got a pretty full dance card. So
yeah, I mean it's you know, it's an H1 is maybe an hour a month, so that's what, 4 hours I think for the four groups that I participate in.
But I mean, to attend everything
in a month. I don't do everything. I tend to participate in the ones that have the educational speakers.
Okay.
Or the ones that have where they're dealing with one problem so that all the heads come together on a solution. I'm not so much for the ones where you just go around the room and introduce yourselves. And then they, you know, okay, thanks for participating, goodbye. I tend to do the ones where I can either take away some level of knowledge that I didn't have before, or where more heads are making light the work. Like everybody's dealing with the same problem. Mm. Like, you know, how are you going to account for payroll stuff in 2020 on your taxes?
Okay. You know? I know the ones that I enjoy are the ones that they actually do. They take time in the meeting itself to do breakouts. So you're with a small yes. group of people yes. and actually have a, you know, yeah, it's only 3, 4, 5 minutes, but it's a much closer connection than me just saying, hi, I'm Greg Peters with, you know, third generation networking. I help people with their networking practice. Okay. On to the next person. You know, I don't find those as valuable as actually being able to sit there with 3 or 4 other people and talk. So.
Well, and my favorite breakout sessions on any meeting are going to be the ones where somebody says, please state where you're stuck. And then the other people that are in that breakout can help
It's like an ad hoc mastermind group, you know?
Kind of. Yeah, it's sort of like obstacle, you know, again, it's all these people putting their additional brains on the problem of overcoming whatever that challenge or obstacle is.
So it seems like you're keeping yourself pretty occupied. What do you like to do when you're not working?
Oh, I like to cook. Really? And luckily in my tiny little pod, I have my next door neighbor and she likes to eat.
Okay. So that works out.
She hates cooking and I love to cook, but I don't like to cook just for myself. So we have dinner together probably 5 out of 7 days a week.
Oh, how nice.
So it gives me a chance to try new recipes. I read a lot. Again, I'm a very curious person. So I read a lot of business books. I also read a lot. My favorite is mysteries and thriller type books, not true crime, but okay. The ones that are more like novels. I'm big visiting my dad and being involved with the Alzheimer's Association and support groups for children of patients or parents with Alzheimer's. And then I try to stay fit, which is really hard in a pandemic, especially if you like to cook, it's harder to stay fit. So I'm learning how to hula hoop right now.
Really?
Yes.
Hula hoop. Okay.
Yes, because one of those things that I didn't carry around when I was moving for those 38 homes, I did not carry around my own hula hoop. And as a result, I can't keep a hula hoop up for any length of time. But hula hooping is really good exercise.
Well, and that's all trunk muscles.
Yeah,
that's,
it builds a much stronger core.
Yeah. So. Well, I can't do like with the standard kids ones. I got nothing with that. If you get the really big ones.
You need a bigger one. Yes. Yeah,
you can go for a long time with those.
Yeah.
All right. So where are you going from here with the business? What I know you said you just kind of, you're moving into this new area. Where do you see as sort of the path forward? What's the next step for you?
Well, I think the next step, I have a free download. It's 10 things that you can do to grow your business during the pandemic.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it okay if we put that in the episode notes?
Sure. We'll put that in the episode notes and it's free and you can download it. I publish a weekly newsletter. My next step is I'm probably going to create a mini course that's online. Mm-hmm. It's a self-study and it's going to be having to do with my interest in cooking, and it's a recipe for sweet and scrumptious clients.
Oh, delightful.
So I'm going to share all the ingredients that you need to have in order to get the most sweet and scrumptious client list. And it'll be a series of short videos at a relatively low price point. And then from there, people get offered an opportunity to join my membership group, which is small group coaching, and it's called the Driver's Seat. We open that twice a year.
And I know that you are going to be giving us a little taste test, right, of the sweet, to keep with that motif, a taste test of your sweet and scrumptious clients program at our lunch in June.
Yes, yes,
So we can
yes.
look forward to finding out a little bit more about that and maybe getting some more people interested.
Well, and one of the things I'm going to pass out is a little framework that allows you to put together your own recipe for sweet and scrumptious clients. Because it's not about me, it's not about my clients and telling you what I want to go after. It's about what's appropriate for your personality, your marketplace, your industry, and how you like to do business. And that all stems kind of from not only your vision and your goals, but also what are the beliefs and values that you have about your business. And I could talk for a whole nother day on beliefs and values.
Well, I'm hoping we'll get a little bit of that in the session in June, will we?
Sure,
Okay.
sure.
So I will have information about the lunch also in the episode notes because we would love to have you come in and see Diane live over Zoom, of course, but we're still
Whatever
doing
works.
whatever works, right? So how can people reach you if they want to find out more?
The easiest way is to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Diane H. Spadolo
Spadola,
or
Spadola.
Spadola.
I will admit I was misspelling it and it wasn't coming up right for me. So
Yeah.
remember
Yeah. Everybody thinks it has an I in there somewhere, but it doesn't.
I, well, I
No,
think
it's Spadola.
it's Spadola. Okay. All right.
Oh, and then my website is just accelerateyoursuccessprogram.com.
Accelerate your success.
Program.com. And on my website, I not only have the free PDF download for those 10 tips, but I also have a video blog that I've been doing for almost 2 years now. I have a brand new video series called the Traction Tuesday at 10, which is basically suggestions to overcome obstacles. You can read past newsletters. I publish on a weekly basis the weekly traction tips. And then I have a Facebook group that is kind of an online classroom. So people can go to Facebook and type into the groups, Accelerate Your Success, and connect with me there too.
Well, fantastic. I will make sure that all of these resources are in the episode notes, so anyone who wants to connect with you through those, they can hop right on them. So, all right, one final question before we go. What's one piece of advice you've received that you would like to share with our audience?
I gotta go back.
I know it's like asking you, can you tell me a funny joke?
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are so many, but I think what I would say, because it resonates with my ideal clients, is don't hide your light under a bushel. That you are not ordinary. And that the only way that you're going to be able to make a significant impact on the world is by putting yourself out there. And I know that for the shy introvert people, which I am obviously not, it's difficult. But imagine the impact that you can make if you do put yourself out there and you touch more lives and you serve more clients and you provide more work to people that need the solutions to your problems. So I think that would be the piece of advice that I would want to share.
Well, thank you so much for that. Now, do you remember who first told you that?
I think it's a line from Godspell, the musical theater, about hiding your light under a bushel. But so that's the best I could come up with. But it's something
Your
that I
advice where
try,
you get it, right?
it's something that I try to talk to people about all the time. And just because you're an introvert doesn't mean that you can't exhibit good marketing practices. You just have to do it in a way that's appropriate for you and your personality. So I guess realizing your own truth and being your authentic self is also a message that I would convey. I have a mentor that has taught me a lot about relationship marketing. I've read a lot of books. There are so many people that have so many good things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And your listeners are part of that group.
Well, they definitely are now. Diane, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. You have been an absolute delight. And, you know, I know my mom's going to be sad that she missed out on the opportunity to be part of the conversation, but too bad for her.
Well, and I will step out of her shoes so that she can be sure to come back.
All right.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a real privilege.
Well, thank you. And we will look forward to seeing you in June at the Connects Nation lunch. So we will definitely be there. So thank you all for tuning into our program today. If you did enjoy it, please comment down below. Of course, this will be on our Facebook pages. The information's in the episode notes. If you thought that someone could benefit from this, share it with a friend. And we would love to see you every week. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button down below. Until next time, go out and make some great connections. You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.